It's always about protecting the patient. And the increased focus on cybersecurity measures is really just around that. It's about protecting patient data.
Good day, and welcome to another HIMSCast podcast. I'm Bill Sawicki, Managing Editor of Healthcare IT News, a HIMSS Media publication. Today, we'll be looking at security challenges on healthcare's horizon that healthcare provider organizations must prepare for. My guests are Tiffany Gallagher, partner and health industries leader, and Prakash Venkata, partner and principal in consulting giant PricewaterhouseCoopers cyber risk and regulatory practice. Welcome, Tiffany and Prakash.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Pleasure meeting you, Bill.
You both have identified a number of coming security challenges, so let's get to it. First, you suggest that healthcare faces heightened regulatory scrutiny with federal and state regulators proposing new cybersecurity requirements, goals, and guidelines to bolster industry resilience. I'm hoping you can please elaborate on this landscape.
Excellent. I'm happy to take this one, Bill. I'll hit it at a high level. But as you noted, the regulatory scrutiny continues to increase for healthcare organizations. And it really makes sense. The primary goal for the regulators, as well as all of those who operate in this industry, is pretty straightforward. It's always about protecting the patient. And the increased focus on cybersecurity measures is really just around that. It's about protecting patient data and protecting patient safety. So I thought I'd just highlight a few aspects from the regulatory environment. I'll hit the federal level first. In recent years, the Office of Civil Rights within the Department of Health and Human Services has increased their focus on cybersecurity, and they've issued guidance on various aspects of safeguarding electronic health information. And given that so many provider organizations are not-for-profit organizations, funding and resources is typically a challenge. So the Department of Health and Human Services has also established what they call the HC3. It's the Health Sector Cybersecurity Coordination Center, which I always think is a big mouthful. But the goal of the HC3 is really to provide healthcare organizations with the resources and assistance they need for managing these cyber risks. And as part of that, they collaborate with both public and private sector partners to share information, conduct risk assessments, and develop best practices for the healthcare industry as a whole. And then maybe at the state level, it is much of the same. Many states have introduced or passed legislation to address cybersecurity in healthcare. These laws often require the healthcare organizations to implement very specific security measures, again, conduct risk assessments, or report data breaches in a timely manner, getting back to patient data as being a key priority here. And similar to the federal level, some states have also established cybersecurity task forces or advisory boards to provide guidance and recommendations to help the healthcare organizations. And others, even like New York, have set aside grant funds that organizations can tap into for things like technology upgrades or to hire the resources they need to really help move their needle in their cybersecurity program.
Okay. So now you also say that the growing population of internal contracted and external party access is complex and requires organizations to adopt modern identity solutions to address the issue. What are these identity solutions to this challenge?
Yeah, Bill, I can take that one. If you look at like the organizations, especially now in this world, I mean, like in a hybrid working models, even like hybrid environments, on-prem as well as cloud environments and the SaaS environments, a lot of different things are going on. And yet, when you look at like the whole IAM systems, the governance itself is kind of a little bit broken, because depending on where you are coming in, like centralizing that one is going to be really important. Putting that zero trust framework, people talk about it, identity is the first step in that one. Getting the governance together, making sure like you have a clear framework, and defining all the different IAM solutions itself. When we talk about identity and access management, there are a lot of different capabilities that goes into it. One is access management, authorization, privileged access management, cloud infrastructure, and entitlement management. The list goes on, along with the KPIs and KRIs. How do you want to manage those things? Centralize it, appropriately architectural solution, adapt the framework, train the people, okay, how to use those systems and bring them on board. That is how we look at it, Bill. So that way the complexity is reduced, people are well trained, there is awareness, they are using centralized systems, and they are following an architectural pattern when they are implementing it, so that they can build that resilience even with just the authentication and authorization pieces, Bill.
Excellent. Another question. You feel that many provider organizations are allowing development teams to create cloud environments without the appropriate levels of control. What do you see happening, and how can healthcare organizations solve this problem?
Yeah, Bill, I'll take that one too, and then I'll ask Tiff to add a little bit more to it. So if you look at it again, like developers are developers. They want to go do something. There is a lot of shadow IT goes on, even the business when it happens. I mean, like people are going in and trying to do that. And this is where putting the right controls. One is awareness. The second one is governance piece, saying that if somebody goes out and does something which is not appropriately sticking to their policies and standards, what kind of penalties they will get it. And establishing that, like, you know, governance piece along with the policies, standards, procedures, so that people can adapt the right things across the board, okay? Whether it's a developer organization, whether it's a business that is going into a SaaS environment, or an IT person who wants to do something different, give them that access. Go in, break that thing, give them the access, saying that this is how you're going to be performing. These are the policies that are enabled. And then give them the good path to production kind of steps. Especially if you look at it, developers have the right thought. They want to go use the most advanced technologies that are out there. In that case, how are we going to give them the right access is what we have to talk about it. So policies, training and upskilling, making sure like IT and security teams are available for them to give the support as needed when they are developing their solution sets. And then putting the appropriate access controls across the board, okay? When they are moving from their development environment to a different environment, what kind of controls are they looking for? Giving them that safety net, saying that you are doing it, right data is being used, and making sure there are audits and controls on top of it, okay? Like once they are in there, monitor it. Like especially the CISO's job becomes an interesting one here, because they need to monitor. In the end, they can give you all the tools, and like the last piece is monitor, and things are not working as expected, either modify the policy or like make sure there are penalties for people breaking those policies, Bill. Tiff, you want to add anything?
Yeah, Prakash, I think you did a great job talking about how you solve for some of the problems. Maybe just a step back as to why this is happening in the first place. I would typically say there's really three root causes for why this is happening. The first is time to market pressure. The second is what you had mentioned, the existence of these shadow IT organizations. And the third is just the lack of awareness in the industry. Quickly on the time to market, development teams just unfortunately oftentimes prioritize that speed and agility to deploying the applications and the services, and sometimes bypass those governance and controls you talked about. Similarly, with the shadow IT organizations, in these situations, you have shadow IT teams that are operating independently, and they're procuring and deploying cloud resources without involving the organization's IT and security departments, and again, circumventing all that great control you talked about, Prakash. And then finally, and we've mentioned this a couple of times, there is just a little bit of a lack of awareness within this industry. Even as individuals work hard to follow their company policies, sometimes healthcare organizations are a little bit behind and don't necessarily understand all of the risks as well as the control measures that come along with things like the cloud.
That was great. Now, on another front, you see significant deals activity driving the need for better IT and security integration planning and execution to effectively address cyber risk. Can you elaborate on this?
So I can go first on that one, Bill. If you look at it, a lot of digital transformation is happening. Regulatory compliance requirements are humongous. And also the threat actors have become smart when they look at like anything with the acquisitions, mergers, and this thing. they are actually going in and like figuring it out ahead of time, how they can put something into those environments. So that's another piece, like people are very, very, very about it. And also like the cost and operational efficiency. A lot of times when we do these things, we are looking at like, you know, how do we want to be compliant by the time we get that organization into our environment? And also like, you know, making sure like the data is streamlined and appropriate tools are being used, like multiple places when we work with it. They already have an idea, I mean, like which tools they want to consolidate, which tools they want to appropriately sunset those things, those areas they have been thinking about in when it, the deals are happening. And that is where the optimization is. But also security is really important. From day one, those activities, as we move the needle forward, we are making sure like, you know, those things are taken into consideration, appropriate controls are put in place and being monitored as the transformation or acquisition is being transition into a different company, Bill. Tiffany?
Yeah, Prakash, I'll add to that a little bit here. I mean, managing risk during a deal is critical. And I mean, certainly managing cyber risk is an imperative. So maybe just I'll offer up above and beyond what you shared, a few practical things that organizations can do. I would say first and foremost, it's early involvement. You want to include IT and security teams in the deal planning process itself. Their expertise is going to be critical to helping you identify potential risks and develop strategies to mitigate those risks. Then as you move into due diligence, I could say that confidently here, nearly every deal that I'm a part of now includes cybersecurity due diligence to assess the security posture of that target organization, or if you're just acquiring assets of the assets themselves. And this includes evaluating the IT infrastructure, the security controls, as well as looking at any past security incidents that they may have been impacted by. Once the deal is complete, as you move into integration planning, it's critical to develop a comprehensive integration plan that includes IT and security considerations. And the plan should really outline the steps and timelines for integrating systems, data, and security controls with a real focus on ensuring the controls that are in place or being established are in line with the new company's risk appetite, because it might be different from the target company and how they set up their control environment. And as part of that process, it really is important to perform a risk assessment to identify potential vulnerabilities, but also to help you prioritize all the mitigation efforts you're going to have in place. And then finally, I'll go back to maybe the last point we've mentioned a few times here. It's all around upskilling and training. Having effective communication and training programs to educate employees about the importance of cybersecurity during a deal is really important. And it should include raising awareness about potential risks, providing guidance on security practices, and really promoting that culture of security across the whole combined organization.
So I have one more question for you, Prakash and Tiffany, just one more today. Other challenges that you two see include third-party risk management and medical devices. So let's close our discussion with you helping listeners understand these challenges.
Yeah, Bill, maybe I'll start on this one and chat about why third-party risk management creates such a challenge for healthcare organizations. And then I'll let Prakash talk about how companies can mitigate those risks, if that's okay. So I would say first and foremost, it's about the complexity. The healthcare ecosystem is so very complex and it's so interconnected, with each healthcare organization utilizing a variety of third-party vendors, suppliers, and service providers. These third parties oftentimes have access to sensitive patient data information, which we've already talked about is incredibly highly regulated. But they're also oftentimes really key to delivering critical services related to serving the patient that we talked about. And both of these factors, the highly regulated information and how important they are to serving the patient population, make these third parties even more susceptible to cyber attacks, as we've seen in recent cyber activity. So that's the first thing. It's really complex. The second challenge I'll highlight is that healthcare systems use a variety of medical devices, as you mentioned. And again, these medical devices are increasingly interconnected and integrated into the healthcare network. So think things like insulin pumps or glucose monitors. These devices come from a variety of manufacturers and suppliers, increasing the complexity yet again. But also ensuring the security of a med device is pretty challenging because you need to secure it from the point of procurement to installation, as well as the ongoing maintenance and life cycle of that device, which is really hard as you think about moving an insulin pump or a glucose monitor around a hospital. It's just a real challenge, but it's a challenge that's, you know, worth the taking because it's certainly, these devices could potentially have vulnerabilities that can be exploited to, again, gain access to the patient information, or even worse, disrupt some of the critical healthcare operations or human life in this situation. And maybe just going back to bring us back to where we started on the regulatory environment, this med device area is another area where we've seen cybersecurity requirements recently passed by the FDA, requiring manufacturers to do more around this post-market surveillance of the devices. So it's helpful that the manufacturers are on the hook here, but it doesn't necessarily take away the impact from the provider organizations. And then finally, Prakash, before I turn it over to you, similar to how we talked about every other topic here, many healthcare organizations do face the resource constraints when it comes to implementing a comprehensive third-party risk management program and securing these devices. And again, they oftentimes lack the expertise, the budgets, or the dedicated staff to effectively assess and manage the security risk associated with all of these third parties. So with that, Prakash, maybe I'll turn it over to you to how we mitigate some of these challenges.
Yep. Thank you, Tiffany. As Tiffany mentioned, like security by design, this is something we talk about. That's like basic 101, guys. I mean, like when you're thinking about any product, especially the medical devices, we talk about security by design and making sure like the access control encryption as well as network segmentation to protect the medical devices from unauthorized access. That is like a 101. The second piece we talk about is standardized security requirements across the board to making sure it meets the industry compliance requirements and also third-party requirements so that like everybody is on the same page and they are enabling those kind of controls into their products when they are releasing them. The third thing is like robust vendor assessment and due diligence. This is actually a very key component for a lot of big companies. If they don't have that good vendor assessment capabilities and the due diligence, a lot of times that is the challenge they are facing and they are not able to handle it properly. And this is where we talk about it. We work with our clients very closely for managing the data handling procedures, the compliance and relevant regulations, contractual agreements, as well as the security requirements. We talk ahead of time and the SLAs are established and contractual agreements are put in place and followed by a due diligence on a periodic basis, evaluating to make sure they are meeting those requirements. And that ongoing monitoring and auditing is a very key component to make sure they are being compliant. So in addition to that, what we talk about is collaboration and information sharing. For some reason, even after those standardized requirements and design and everything, if there is a compromise, I think the organization should share that information and immediately take action on those things so that everybody can be benefited from those kind of activities. That is the other one, like especially the threat intelligence sharing, is we talk about it within the healthcare industry so that you can keep it up to date. That is it, Bill.
All right. And that is this week's HIMSCast. I'd like to thank my guests, Tiffany Gallagher, partner and health industries leader, and Prakash Venkata, partner and principal in PricewaterhouseCoopers Cyber Risk and Regulatory Practice. Thank you, Tiffany, and thank you, Prakash.
Thanks so much. This has been fun, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
And to all of our listeners, stay tuned. Another HIMSCast will be on the way soon.